This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Even one of the Rich Rod games was not a 20-point spread.
Yeah.
Which, when you really think about it, I mean, what a mismatch, right? So those were really down Michigan teams.
I went to that one. I think I went to Rich Rod's last. Did I go to Rich Rod's last? No, that was like 08. Because I remember because we sat in the corner of the bowl, and lower but great tickets. My buddy, who was a Michigan fan, his aunt went to Ohio State. We got tickets. Long story. I should tell that on the podcast someday. I told you already. And it was cold that morning. We went to AC/DC the next day, or the day before. Loudest concert I've been to. And then they won 42-7.
Yeah, I mean, they were 42-7. They were 3-9 in 08, Michigan, in 09, 5-7, and then 7-6. Oof. So,
Just wrong offense.
Yeah.
Fixed a culture that didn't need to be fixed, really, if you think about it.
So, to think about the spread being what it is for this game, and it's a home game, and Ohio State's lost three in a row, so they've been gearing up for this. Will Howard, I think really, in a strange way, it's been Will Howard that I think is like taken some of the pressure away. He's performed so well. And I feel like he is, over the course of a year, you know, I thought he played well in that Oregon game. Everybody was like, what an idiot, sliding at the end of the game. They had the better quarterback. I actually thought Will Howard played pretty well in that game. And since then has only continued to
really well
give me more confidence. Yeah. And then just some of the ways that he approached the game this week, it sounded better. It just did. I don't know how to describe it. It sounds like the team is in good hands.
He's done a lot to, you know, a lot of these guys. I think it was a major concern for a lot of people in this era, really even since the Urban era, when you, like, Tressel put a rope around the state of Ohio, which, by the way, he joined us yesterday, the Senator Jim Tressel. You can listen to that interview, 92.3thefan.com. It was incredible yesterday, which I was getting MVR references from people on Twitter, like, oh, yeah, I've had the Tressel tortellini. Fabulous, fabulous dish. But he was he put the rope around Ohio, and it really became like a home thing. But, like, hey, Santonio Holmes is from Boca Raton. Like, there were guys that he got that were from other parts of the country.
Frenzel is from Michigan.
Yeah, and he started to go to Florida. He would bring in kids from Texas. And then Urban was transcontinental, it seemed, and he'd get them from anywhere. Yeah. And I think that one of the concerns for people was, will they take this rivalry seriously? Because when you're Michigan and you've lost, what do they lose in a row? How many did they lose in a row at its most? Seven? Was it seven straight years? The longest they went during this entire last 20-year period where, you know, it's been more Ohio State than Michigan. It was like, hey, man, that's baked in. Like to fight against Ohio State is baked in. These guys, I mean, they're like some of the freshmen, true freshmen or redshirt freshmen that you're playing with. Ohio State hasn't lost a game in this series since they were in fifth grade. Like, it's a ways. And I think I wondered how seriously, and I think a lot of people did, how seriously are they taking it? I think Will Howard's done a lot this year to prove that he takes this thing. He buys in. He studied the history. He buys into what it means to be a Buckeye and buys into what it means to be the Ohio State quarterback in this series.
Yeah, they had a 7-game win streak from 04 to 2010.
Yeah.
And then from 2012 to 2019, it was 8.
8. God in heaven.
So Michigan had won one game, the 2011 game. That was
a first down easy by JT Barrett, by the way. I still don't understand what Jim Harbaugh was talking about. I swear to God, not trolling.
They had some close games obviously, here and there, but part of it was I didn't even really think that it was the fact that they got the rivalry with the Urban teams. They're just so much better. They just had so much more talent. They're just so much better.
Well,
And then they didn't screw it up. They didn't screw it up like the Cooper teams.
I think he was so obsessive about the rivalry. I think that they were so good, I don't know if they had to get it. And Michigan at certain time, I mean, at the end of Brady Hoke, they were just so down. And like when they lost to, gosh, when they lost to Minnesota that last year, it was like, okay, what are we doing here? And then it just seemed to be that they were so down, they didn't really have confidence in a lot of things. And that I mean, you go back to that App State loss, it seemed to cast this shadow over over their program for 20 years, and they finally got out from under it. But I think that the concern, I don't think that it's a concern of seriousness anymore. I mean, when I heard, I got to tell you, I've given Ryan Day a lot of hell over the last few years. Can we play this again? We played this for Jim Trussell yesterday. I think he was a little bit surprised to hear some of these comments. This is Ryan Day about losing to Michigan. Go ahead. I mean, he mentions his father, audio courtesy of 10TV. I've given Ryan Day a hard time for losing these games and, you know, the whole jumping around before the game last year and stuff like that. That is a strong statement to make.
Yes, father.
I see him a little differently since I've heard those comments.
I have a lot of thoughts because, you know, for those that don't know, his father tragically took his own life when Ryan Day was 8 years old. So for him to just kind of casually bring that up in a conversation about football, it tells you that this has been eating at him. I remember one of the national college football guys, I don't know if it was Joel Klatt. No, you know what? It was Dan Wetzel. Dan Wetzel on his podcast about a month ago said, just seems like Ryan Day is so on edge. Anytime he sees Ohio State, should be a lot happier than he is. He just seems on edge. And Wetzel did not think he was really on the hot seat. So, you know, there's that big debate on whether he's the hot seat. Like, I could tell you today that I think if he doesn't beat Michigan this year, he's going to lose his job because probably means they can't win the national championship if they lose. And now it's a 4-straight loss, and it's been now how many years since you've been able to beat them? You know, it's going to be over 2,000 days. You know what I mean? Like, you start adding it all up, I think they'll be looking to move in another direction. But there are other people that do not think his job is on the line whatsoever. And they just look at the win-loss record. They look at the talent. They look at the coaching staff. And they're like, no.
If he loses this one on Saturday, like, I can feel for him all I want, but his job must be examined.
Well, the funny thing is, they're still, I asked you guys before the show, I'm like, Ohio State's making the playoff.
Yeah.
If they lose to Michigan, right?
Yeah.
They're second ranked in the country and they're the five seed in the playoffs.
It'd be a two-loss team.
I mean,
they'd just be a two-loss team.
Indiana and Penn State in there, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Top five wins.
Yeah. Indiana stayed in. So, yeah. They'd still be in. It would just be such
So that's part of it, too. You asked me about
such an appalling loss.
You asked me how nervous I was. So it's A, I don't think they're going to lose. B, it's 20-point dogs, all that stuff. C, they're going to make the playoffs. Like, this is not life or death. They will make the playoffs. It'll be life or death to a lot of Buckeye fans like me about losing to Michigan again. But then they're still going to be playing football. They're not going to be in the Big Ten Championship. But they're still going to the playoff.
It was, I just think about how I would be sitting there. Like, they're a 21-point favorite. Is it up to 21 now or is it still at 20? I'm sorry. They're a 20-point favorite for some books. I just think about myself sitting there in disbelief if something like that were to happen, like with Michigan. Like, oh my God, I can't believe this is going on right now. Like, even I, who has separated myself as much as I could emotionally, I think there's still a tinge in there somewhere. But I've separated myself as much as I could emotionally from this, from Ohio State and from the rivalry and everything. I think I'd be sitting there going, my God, when? Come on, let's go. Let's go. Like, what's going on here? And I don't think that you could. I know that you've had it out with the guy, one of the guys in the afternoon. I no offense to Peterlin, I don't know where he stands on Ryan Day yet. I just haven't heard his opinion on it yet. Not that he hasn't said. I mean, God, they're on 5 hours a day. But I know that you've had it out with Nick about Ryan Day's job security if he were to lose to Michigan. Guys, it's not John Cooper anymore. It's not the 90s anymore. You're playing for so many high stakes. The stakes are so much higher. You're not paying. Yeah, I'm sure there was something under the table that was impermissible at that time. I mean, it's college football in the 90s. But
it was Ohio State.
Yeah, and but we're talking about it being out in the open about upwards of $20 million being spent on your roster. I mean, that's an incredible amount of money you're paying to beat Michigan. If you don't beat Michigan, they don't pay for you to beat Indiana. They don't pay for you to beat the other ones. They pay for you to beat Michigan. That's what they're, because they assume that's part of the job. You just beat the other ones. You're paid to beat Michigan. Well, the players are as well.
You certainly can't lose four straight.
No.
You have the better quarterback. You're at home. I will say this. One thing to watch, because I've kind of gone around, reached out to people that understand talent evaluation, everything. I'm like, tell me about the defensive line matchup versus Ohio State's offensive line. They're like, well, Michigan can create havoc here. Like a buddy of mine who's been doing this a long time and follows the scouting, he's like, this matchup will be tough for Ohio State's offensive line. I know you look at the records and you're like, how could Michigan have an advantage? That is where they would have an advantage. And Ohio State couldn't run the football in the first half against Indiana. So if they can't run the football in this game, you know, Will Howard has been excellent for the Buckeyes, pretty much coast to coast, year round, end-to-end. But he hasn't had a lot of third and tens.
Yeah.
With a legitimate pass rush coming after him. Has had a lot of those this year.
But, you know, Michigan has had also a lot of third and ten.
Well, Michigan can't. Their offense has just been a disaster all the way around. You know Michigan's going to pull out all the stops, right? Yeah. Like, they're going to seem like an FCS team playing in terms of their offense.
You know what they say, Tone? When it comes to these two teams, you throw the records out the window.
Which I'm not. I'm not in this case. I know that that's why people bring up those seasons
say,
in the '90s.
What? In this case, bring their records back inside.
Yeah, I actually think Ohio State is so much better than them. But just in that one area, like if Michigan can get to Will Howard, force turnovers, they can make this very, very, very anxious moments in that building, especially for that coach, because you heard that coach. He is like walking on eggshells about this stuff. And yeah, he'll look loose before the game when they do that weird thing where they're throwing him around in the circle. They've been doing that. They did it last week before Indiana. He gets all fired up. But I think he's a little tight, and I think he will coach tight if this is a close game.
He is ratcheting. He is ratcheting the entire way through. He's been on edge. I think he's been on edge for a year. I don't know what he's going to do. I think they're going to win on Saturday. I think they're going to beat Michigan. That's not really hanging them over the fence or anything. I do think it'll be – I think that Michigan will cover it. I don't think that it's going to be outside of 20. I think if he gets a chance to pour it on, he's going to pour it on. I'll tell you that right now. But I think it'll probably be within the 20 points. I don't know what he's going to do. He needs to – I hope he has a plan on how he's going to come off that 50,000-foot cliff on Saturday after they beat Michigan, just for his own sanity. Because this is cool. Because he's going to have a game next week. He's going to have a game against Oregon next week.
Yeah.
So it's like
pretty damn big one.
I hope he has a plan on Saturday night and enjoy Saturday night and move forward. You got to give yourself something. It's been 3 years. Because when I heard that statement, I go, ooh, geez.
Hey, but he understands this is tough. The question is he almost succumbing to the pressure of this game too much? And we can't answer that until we see the game.
Yes.
Right? But we'll know. We'll know if it's all of a sudden Ryan Day's punting on 4th-and-1 at Michigan's 47-yard line.
I was so disappointed last year when he was doing that. Damn it, was I disappointed
especially
when he was doing that last year.
Especially because you talked the talk all year.
That's what
And you ran right back inside your shell for the biggest game of the year. In a game, and I should give Michigan credit. Michigan was better than I thought they were. I still think Ohio State had more talent. And Ohio State was as close to anybody. Kyle McCord, they were as close to anybody. Remember, they had a drive at the end of the game. They were much closer than Washington, right? They're
yeah.
much closer than Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, Ohio State was the one team that could beat them, but Ryan Day couldn't get it done.
Coming up in a little bit, 9 o'clock, Doug LaMaurice, Kings of the North on YouTube. He's going to join us on the show. You've known Doug for a long time. You've heard Doug for a long time. Doug's going to join us at 9 o'clock. We'll talk about Will Howard, his leadership of the Buckeyes. We'll talk about this game with Ohio State taking on Michigan on Saturday and what Urban Meyer calls the greatest rivalry in sport. Hard to argue that. Coming up next, speaking of college football, pretty proud alum this morning. About last night, next on the
Fan. Only one more week to go before we have our final 12-team playoff rankings. Were you dialed in yesterday?
No, I wasn't, actually.
I wasn't either.
Nope.
I guess You know, as much as it's, you want to know what the committee thinks,
they
right?
love their college football. See, on this show.
Well, they're going to announce it, and I'll talk about it the next day.
But isn't this the difference between the 12 team and the 4 team? There's good and bad of both, right?
Yeah.
The good is you got more games to care about, more games to kind of pay attention to. Like, you cared about Colorado and Kansas because Colorado was still in it. You know, you wouldn't have done that in the BCS era, maybe. Certainly you wouldn't in the BCS. And in the 14 playoff, you wouldn't have. But the other side of this is, what do I really need to watch that last night? There's still another week of college football, and then the... and I should say there's still two more rankings because then you have the conference championship week after that. So I got to correct myself. But that's what I mean. There's still so much football left to be played and so many things are going to change this. And I asked you, if Ohio State loses to Michigan, they're still in the playoff, right? Now, Indiana cannot lose in their final game.
Well, if you lose to Purdue, that's it. I mean, good God. I'm sure everybody's watched Purdue exactly two times. Maybe, well, actually probably once just against Ohio State. I've seen Purdue... three times, and that was three too many.
Penn State has Maryland. They're a 5-win team?
Now, you know that this is... I'm not going to say this is a Big 12 show, but this is a show that respects the Big 12. Put Arizona State number 12 if they make the playoff there, which clearly would be a Big 12 champion, is a slap in the face.
Okay.
Is a slap in the face to the conference. I find it to be captivating football. I like football that's won on the margins. I don't find it to be sloppy. I don't find it to be sloppy, terrible football the way that some people have made it out to be over years past. I think it's well coached, clearly.
You're right. That conference has been dogged all year.
Yes, even and I don't think it deserves to
be.
Even
though the SEC has certainly not distanced itself, they might have the better players, but they've got all the bad losses.
Well,
this year.
Like I'll say what it is. Okay, the SEC teams that are in. See, it's hard to make an argument. The SEC teams that are in: Texas, Georgia, Tennessee. Right? There's three in, which is probably two less than they want it to be.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Those teams would probably run everybody in the Big 12 off the field. All right. Fine. Would Boise State really run them off the field? Boise better be happy that they got a great running back, obviously, and that UNLV is playing to the level it did. I thought UNLV might have a slip-up here or two. They didn't, and that's the only thing boasting them up
right.
to be a home field advantage, or I should say a first-round bye.
Yeah.
Which, for whatever reason, teams that get a first-round bye, they should get a home game, but they don't get a home game.
So here are the matchups today, which we know is subject to change, obviously, and they likely will. Arizona State, Ohio State at the Shoe, 12 versus 5. Tennessee at Georgia. Interesting SEC matchup. I don't know the appetite for that. You would think people would want to see the SEC teams play outside the conference. Also, Indiana and Penn State, again, another conference versus conference game. I thought the whole point of the playoff was that we'd get to see teams traveling to different places. And then SMU, SMU at South Bend taking on Notre Dame in a 10 versus 7. So yesterday had the opportunity in listening to the ESPN show, Ward Manuel, who is obviously big-time administrator and somebody who is on the committee. He's over there at Michigan. He was asked flat out, Indiana, they're still in, huh?
I don't think any active athletic director should be on this committee at all.
Right? Seems kind of weird.
Yeah, I think it's silly.
Even throwing to him, and I'm like, oh, he's on the committee, huh? But that's what they do. They've always done that with the BCS and the different committees over the years. Obviously, March Madness, we know that. Gene Smith famously was on it the year that Ohio State got a terrible draw when they had maybe their best team. So I find it very interesting that he did say he kind of watched that Ohio State game and said it was validation for them. I thought it looked like a total mismatch to me. I know the score is 14-7 at the half.
He also said, buddy, you work on the season.
I think the rest of the season.
They just won all their games except for Ohio State.
The rest of the teams in the SEC having a bad night.
Nebraska.
I think that's what helped Indiana. I agree with you that it was a total mismatch. I think the final, boy, if it would have been 31-14, it would have been even stronger. But Ryan Day scored the final touchdown. Good for him. But I think that it was really more the other teams failing. I don't think they want to say, though, that the other teams failed and that's why
Ole
we kept him in. It sounds like charity.
Bama.
It sounds like charity for him. But because Alabama and because Ole Miss failed,
gotta find 12
teams.
That
has to leave Indiana in. You got to find 12 teams, exactly. So he makes a case. It's not a good case. I think it's more of the other teams in the SEC failed.
Meanwhile, there was some college football last night. Some action.
Yeah.
Some Tuesday night action.
Yes, indeed.
On ESPN2. I was enjoying this. So it was Akron versus UT. They're in overtime. The Rockets, fourth down and goal and needing to get into the end zone. Holy Toledo. Get the sack on fourth down. Akron wins their final two games of the year. Kenny. Give it up to the Zips.
Audio courtesy ESPN. It's nice to hear a familiar voice and a friend of ours there. And it's nice that the Zips have won, baby! 4-8. Hey, that's totally two away from bowl eligible, babe. I love it. And how do you get it in your size? I'm like, they send it. It's like, there's a lot of people who are people of size on these football teams, you and that's who they make it for.
You know a guy in Iowa State?
Yeah, I know a guy. I know
Mark
a couple.
Mangy.
That was a joke.
He's borrowing.
I still have that as a gag.
That is incredible.
I fit into it again.
Good for Joe Moorhead. You know, he moved back here. His dad was, you know, battling some health issues, and unfortunately, over the last week, he passed away.
Yeah.
Merv, I think he was 82, so Joe Moorhead was coaching with a heavy heart. And what a nice job finishing up the season. Who had to beat in Toledo?
Nobody.
I mean, that's the first time in 11 years.
It's been 11 years since we beat Toledo?
Or was it 11 matchups? Probably 11
Holy
matchups.
Holy potatoes. Yeah. I remember we went out to the Glass Bowl once and it was a wasted trip. Just got our clocks cleaned.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bad day.
You said
bad weather, too.
You said to me off the air, like, Toledo has a little bit of NIL money.
They got a little bit. Yeah, like they're like the one team in the MAC that asked them. That's why the Mountain West was like coming at their door like, hey, guys, interested after they lost a few of those teams earlier this fall. But no, congratulations to the Zips. Wonderful time.
Text your boy Greco. How's he feeling today?
I'm sure he feels just fine on that nice piece of property.
That's all right. It for about last night.
Fix my life at 7:45. We'll go around the AFC North coming up at 8 o'clock. Take a look at all these games and these matchups, even though the Browns don't play till Monday. Speaking of the Browns, up next, if they're really doing this, going into Stefanski and Barry's sixth season next year, just call the movers now. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live in the Fan. I don't know if that's going to be good enough for some folks. Of course, when you hear Ryan Day talking about the worst days of his life, that might change your perspective a little bit. I am not a hard-hearted man, and I was like, oh, boy, I feel a little bit different now. And that's a guy who's made a hell of a lot of money in his career, so maybe I shouldn't feel that bad, but I felt pretty bad when I heard that. We also go around the AFC North coming up at 8 o'clock. We got to get to this, folks. Albert Breer is singing a different tune than what he was last year. Now, we had told you, and I'm not sure what's all in this clip. I heard Albert Breer yesterday, and there was some good stuff being shared. I'm not sure exactly what's in this clip. I'm kind of going blind. It's day before a holiday, so it's not as up to date on everything here. But you guys got to hear this. This is Albert Breer about the Browns' plans next year, considering their well, they're a $172 million albatross.
I'd say like a huge reason why Joe Flacco isn't back this year is because they felt like that would, you know, pose a threat inside the quarterback room to Deshaun. My feeling, and based on what I've been told, I don't think they're going to worry about that anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I think going into 2025, they're not going to worry about anything being a threat to Deshaun or anything else, whether it's a draft pick, somebody they can go out and get in the veteran market. Now it's tricky. You know, it's tricky because of the big numbers on Deshaun's contract. So it's not like, you know, you can just flip a switch and pay some other quarterback $50 million. That's not going to happen. But you can spend a high draft pick on one. You can go and get a, you know, a Sam Darnold style of reclamation project the way the Vikings did last year. There will be some options out there for them. So, you know, I think because of the way the contract sets up logistically, because of the injury, you're sort of tied to Deshaun for 2025. You know, but again, what they can do is they can go and get him competition.
Your reclamation project is already on your team. Jameis, not the other one. I'm not talking about Deshaun Watson. No, your reclamation project, quote unquote, is already on your team. It's Jameis. Listen, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, we were at the turkey giveaway that Rodney McLeod had, and this is our opinion, my opinion. I think you share the opinion. We were in Maple Heights yesterday, and Rodney, who is on our show on Tuesdays, who's a, and I say this and I'll say this until the cows come home, is a wonderful man. We met his wife in Ernest yesterday. They're wonderful people, and they had a turkey giveaway, and Lyme and I were there. And Jameis Winston showed up, and I'm telling you right now, he could have ran for mayor right then and there, and would have won. His personality is infectious. He's kissing babies, literally holding
pictures with babies, holding babies,
literally shaking hands and kissing babies. Kenny, it was incredible.
Kenny, first of all, what a great event. The people in the community, so many people there in Maple, and then the people that work in that middle school building. Yes. It was great to see them. We absolutely loved being
Jack
a part
Washington
of that event.
Washington was there. Great coach, great program. The kids are great.
One of our callers, I have a picture.
Yeah.
I got to put that out there.
If people
don't know what Big Jums looks like.
Big Jum, Maple Heights, man.
He was like the mayor up there. So. It was an awesome event. Kudos to Rodney. I know he has one in Philadelphia as well, and this is the second time they've done this at Cleveland. Hopefully this could continue on for many years. Maybe maybe Rodney wants to come back next year and play football for the Cleveland Browns.
We'll get that figured out.
But it was incredible to see Jameis. And I have to say, I've had some bad opinions on this radio show.
Yeah, you had a few.
And people remind me of those bad opinions, and I appreciate that. Anytime. Well, you can remind me of another bad opinion. Because Rodney did tell me, he's like, hey, you're being hard on Jameis with the teammate stuff and the press conference stuff. And when I had said that I think guys will eventually roll their eyes at Jameis being mic'd up all the time, and I was totally wrong, because you could see it. First of all, Jameis has only been here, you know, how many weeks, and he's going to these events. That wasn't the only event over the last week that he's been at. He is in the community. He is doing stuff. Not to make it a competition on stuff like this, but man, it was so obvious. Well, like seeing how Jameis resonates with the people, it just was incredible. It was night and day to what was going on before. I hate to say it.
I think fans just naturally like the guy.
They likability does matter. It does, especially for a quarterback.
Yeah.
The guy that is the leader of your football team, and Jameis was trying to lead as the backup. We had gone over how difficult that really was.
That is tough.
Well, now he's a starter, and now it look not just the play on the field. Like Jameis is going to have his ups and downs. We will talk a lot about Jameis and whether the Browns can bring him back next year, whether he's the guaranteed starter, and all that. We're going to get into those conversations, but that is what a leader looks like. That is what the guy that's on the poster looks like. It just is.
Well, I want to know from people, and this is going to be to some people, this is going to be a stupid question. I'm going to ask a stupid question here because I think I'm going to get a stupid answer. They're going to laugh at me. Are you open to Deshaun Watson being the starter again next year? 216-474-0092. I want to know, because if your answer is no and my answer is no, like to start the season to be the starter, if my answer is no and the listener's answer is no, and your answer is, I'm imagining no, and I'm going to put words in your mouth. Are you open to starting week one with him being the starter?
I'll tell you, you're talking Jameis?
No, Deshaun Watson.
No.
Okay,
no,
so if everybody's saying no, then this whole word about competition is not real. That is not a real word. And if you're saying that this is a competition, guys, teams that go into a season and have an open, quote-unquote, competition are teams that don't have plans. These are teams that are going to get their coaches fired. You cannot bring these guys back and go into year six with these guys, and now we're having competition.
A competition?
You can call it a competition, what? And they will. They'll call it a competition.
Yeah, in the same
There's
way,
no way this is a competition.
Yeah, in the same way Ohio State, Indiana was a competition last week. There's no competition. There's no way on planet Earth that Deshaun Watson, I can't believe I'm saying this, you would have told me this 4 years ago. There's no way on planet Earth that Deshaun Watson could beat, especially coming off the Achilles injury, could beat Jameis Winston in a competition. There's no way the coaches would say that looks better than that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. Not to mention, guys, the players love Jameis.
They do.
They don't love Deshaun. I don't want to start a whole thing. They just don't.
They just don't. But people take that the wrong way.
I know stuff that other people do not.
But people take that the wrong way. Let me specify it. Because I've been asked this question. I was asked this question at the Bengals game, for the love of God. No, this is before the terrible injury happened. It's nothing. I don't think it's anything actually personal. I don't. Yeah, we get all wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
Fans do. I don't think it's anything personal.
I agree with you.
To me, it's as simple as, do you have to answer whether or not the guy's a good quarterback every week when you're doing a press conference?
Right.
It's the same thing that happened back in 2021. It's the same thing.
They know what Jameis can do right now. They know that Jameis in the snow, in conditions he's never played in against your arch rival, can go around and go tit for tat and bring the team down the field in a late fourth quarter drive. They know all of that. They've seen it now. There are no constraints there. We know the issues Jameis has. Like, he's going to be an up and down quarterback. Absolutely. Where's the up with Deshaun? So where is any of the up?
I'm going to go and I'm going to ask a dumb question, because I think the vast majority of you are going to think it's stupid. Are you open to Deshaun Watson being the starter next year? If you say yes, I want to know a smart answer to a dumb question. If you say yes, 216-474-0092, because they'll call it a competition. You can call a lot of things a lot of things. Ain't no such thing. Not in this league, not with a group of people that have been there for 6 years. At least it better not be, or this thing will go off the rails even more than I could have ever predicted. And I was telling you crazy stuff back in the summertime. 216-474-0092. You guys coming up on The Fan.